Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, our guy Mike Meltzer, badass. He does mornings in Houston and dominates. We needed to bring him in and clear all this stuff up that's going on with the Rockets. And then throw in a little Astros as well. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Scott. Good evening. How are you, man?
My man. So tell me about, like, on your show and everything, like, how you guys feel this is playing out with D'Antoni, that, you know, first it was, he had a year left and they were in talks, and then those talks stalled. And then a day later they said the talks have ended and there's no deal. And how do you guys, like, handle it in terms of your feeling of what's going to happen?
Well, I think that the clear sense, Scott, is they don't really want Mike D'Antoni back and pay him a lot more money, but they're not really willing to fire him, if that makes sense, because Tillman Fertitta had a weird, I don't want to even say news conference, because it wasn't open to, like, the whole media, but there's a bunch of video out there on social media right now where Tillman's going into details on what the negotiation was like, that they offered him $4 million in incentives, which to me, it struck me kind of, you probably remember this well, like, this reminds me of when the Yankees in, like, 2006 or 07, they offer Joe Torre that bizarre contract extension where they're like, hey, we're going to give you a bunch of incentives if you reach and win the World Series. Everybody's like, what the hell? This guy's won, you know, four or five World Series. He's obviously trying to win anyway, and nobody's more incentivized to win than Mike D'Antoni. And it seems to me, Scott, I'm saying a lot of things to tell you that the deal that they offered Mike D'Antoni just seemed like a lousy deal. It seemed like they weren't really giving him much of a raise. It was very incentive-based. And it wasn't really the going rate for a coach of his quality. The problem is, even if you want to fire Mike, there's no obvious upgrade for them, given that they want to win a championship, and there's not a coach out there who you look at and say, yeah, that guy is a clear upgrade over Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah, do you think that, everything that's happened, like, this week, where it kind of built this momentum, and then it became, like, a national story that Morey wanted to, you know, put basically everyone on the table for possible, you know, moves, that they would, you know, change the whole team or get rid of a bunch of guys if that was the case. I'm not sure I buy all that. How did you feel when you heard that they were planning on basically offering up anybody?
I wasn't surprised by it at all because of these two things, Scott. One, they're not trading James Harden. There's a better chance they trade Tillman Fertitta, the owner, than they trade James Harden. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Number two, as far as the other guys, think about this. The Rockets ran up against their ceiling again in facing the Golden State Warriors. So if I were to tell you that the Rockets are going to think about trading Clint Capella, a guy who is making $80 million, who played poorly against the Warriors in back-to-back years, that's not going to shock you. If I tell you they're going to float out the idea of trading Chris Paul, a guy who's still a good player, a very good player at times, but a guy who's owed $120, $150 million, whatever it is, for the next 3 years, that's also not going to shock you either. So it really comes down to those two guys. And, yeah, the Rockets are going to be open for business on any player. So while I understand the importance of the story that Woj put out there, I also felt like from a Rockets standpoint, it was totally unsurprising in that, yeah, this is an organization that wants to win championships, that aims high. They've fallen short 2 years in a row. And so they're naturally going to look and see what the value, if any, of those players is going to be on the open market.
So Mike Meltzer with us in Houston. Do you feel that if you were running that team and you had the ability to, which they do, to move like a Tucker, a Gordon, a Capella, which those are realistic contracts that they could trade, would you do that move?
Depends on what I'm getting back, Scott, because if you go through those guys, PJ Tucker to me is the heart and soul of the team, and that's hard to replace. Eric Gordon's a guy who's on an expiring contract who's been a big piece of their offense, who's a guy who's actually played well in the playoffs the last couple of years, specifically against Golden State. Would I be willing to trade Clint Capella? Sure, but I'm worried about selling low on a guy. You don't want to do this in Wall Street where you're selling low on a good stock, and that's what I feel like they'd be doing with Clint, because, yes, Clint has been bad against Golden State, but this is a 25-year-old center who's getting paid good money but not great money, who's a perfect fit with James Harden, who is athletic, he's young, he runs up and down the court, he can play good defense. If I'm trading a guy like Clint Capella, I got to make sure that I'm getting an asset back, a younger player who can really help me out, because if I'm any team in the NBA who's looking to build, I would absolutely love to add a guy like Clint Capella. So with all three of those guys, it's not easy to find an upgrade for where the Rockets are.
I got to tell you, I think what you said about Capella in terms of the what he's getting paid is like a reasonable deal for a guy with his much, you know, talent, yes, and everything, and like his ability and the way that he works with Harden on that lob finish. I can work with that. Swatting shots, rebounding, youth, legs, can run. I have a hard time believing that they're going to give up on that piece. I get all that heart and soul stuff. I can see him moving Tucker because, you know, he can shoot, it seems like to me, from November until late March or something. And then when it matters, he's not hitting shots for me. And I think they've had these close calls and they're right there. Do you think they need to, like, in the offseason, instead of all this talk about trading everybody, what do you think that their goal should be to bring in somebody that can actually, you know, take them over the hump, because they're right there on the doorstep of success and never get it done? Maybe it's not get rid of a bunch of guys. It's actually get someone that makes them go over the hump, like Toronto did with Kawhi.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that as appealing as it is to say that, hey, they've just fallen short against Golden State, they need to make some kind of major change, I'm not going to make a change for the sake of making a change. And that includes firing the coach. That includes trading Clint. That includes trading PJ Tucker. I'm not going to do something inherently stupid just for the sake of doing it. And so my answer to your question, Scott, is, well, the Rockets didn't really use the mid-level exception this year. Daryl Morey said about 2 or 3 hours ago they're going to use the mid-level exception. Historically, with teams at this level, you're using that mid-level exception to bring in a rotation guy, a guy who's going to be in your top 7 or 8. And, I mean, it's not the sexiest thing, but, like, I would just try to find any avenue I could to find a way to upgrade my team. And if I think about making a major change, like, if I'm considering the idea of trading Chris Paul, then I have to be thinking to myself, I'm going to take a step back as a team, because I think the national conversation has really been lost when it comes to Chris Paul. People act like, okay, the contract is terrible. I get it. But you got to keep this in mind, Scott, and this is something that's very important to keep in mind. When the Rockets traded for Chris Paul and they gave him the extension a year later, those two things are not different transactions. Those things are one and the same. Chris Paul was going to be a free agent 2 years ago. He opted back into his contract to play last year with the Rockets. This dude wasn't going to turn down $100 million just to play for the Rockets for 1 year for like $20 million or whatever it was. That was a clearly wink nod situation. And they're also in a weird spot with Chris in that, let's say you took Chris Paul completely off the team right now. Well, now you're no longer even a championship contender like you were kind of vaguely this season. The problem with Chris is availability and money. If he was a $15 million a year player, we're having a totally different conversation. And that's what makes this whole thing a nuanced thing, in that I get the fear of Chris and what that contract's going to look like moving forward. But if they don't have Chris on this team, they're going to have to add some kind of second or third caliber star, and that's not going to be easy for them to get.
I think it's really well put by you. Mike Meltzer in Houston on 610. Let me ask you about the Astros as they head into Oakland for a set over the weekend against a pretty tough team in the A's, and I think Peacock and Fires are going tomorrow night out there.
Yep.
Did you buy all that stuff about Correa, that this happened to him with some masseur? Is that really true?
Well, Scott, you've been around the sports for a lot longer than I have. Did you buy that story?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I don't understand that at all. Like, I mean, honestly.
It's a weird deal in that, I mean, obviously, it's a very strong leap to say, hey, a dude is lying about his injury, because I don't actually know, you don't actually know. The only guy who knows, obviously, is Correa and maybe other people who live with him and such. But I'll just say this. I found it notable that the Astros took very much a, like, hey, talk to him sort of approach. It's almost like if you were out with to steal an analogy from our midday show today, it's like if you were out with a guy buddy of yours and he somehow, like, let's say, God forbid, he cheated on his wife or girlfriend, and she asked you about it, you'd say, listen, talk to him about it. That, to me, is the vibe that the Astros were giving off with this whole Correa deal, which makes me suspicious about exactly what went on with this whole situation. So I don't know what happened to Carlos, but it just seems very fishy to me from that standpoint.
Yeah, the whole thing. So, I've broken a rib before, and I've torn rib cartilage. I got to tell you, it's the most aggravating, annoying injury ever. It'll drive you nuts, and it's painful as hell. But I've never had even the deepest tissue massage in my life, even like with the most aggressive massage I've ever had in my life, no matter what kind you're talking about, I've never walked out of a place injured. I don't get it. Tell me about what that does to them, though. I think he's lying. But let's just say 6 weeks without him, and then what's happened to Altuve, what is that going to do to that team?
Well, the good thing is they built up this 7.5-game lead in the American League West, but I do think the A's are a legitimate team who's actually gotten things together. I know they have some of their best pitchers on minor league assignments, so that's a rehab assignment, so that's something to keep in mind. Jeff Luhnow, the GM, threw out the idea of adding help from the outside sort of unprovoked yesterday, which I found notable. I mean, they can survive, I think, without two of these three guys being Correa, Springer, Altuve. I think having all three out at the same time is going to make things tough. But here's the thing. The Astros, Scott, have played so many good teams. The schedule after this A's series is going to lighten up a little bit to where I think they can survive for a while and see when they can get, more realistically, Altuve and Springer back more quickly than Correa. I would look to make a deal if possible. But again, kind of like the Rocket situation, if I know I'm getting these guys back and I know they're going to obviously be starting, I don't want to give up too much just to survive for the next, 2 to 3 weeks. That's kind of where I'm at. You also have to keep in mind that home field advantage throughout the playoffs in the American League is something that you also have to think about as well. But, yes, missing those bats is going to be a factor. If this was June 15th, Scott, I'll tell you this. They probably have Yordan Alvarez, who's one of their top prospects, up. And I expect that to probably happen in early to mid-June.
Mike Meltzer, great stuff down in Houston on 610. He's on mornings there. Mike, thanks so much for coming on CBS Sports Radio and talking Rockets Astros with us.
Scott, always great being on with you. Thank you.
My man, Mike Meltzer, down in Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.